Grandparents be staying on cruises. Go ahead.
So my grandparents like won't stop going on cruises. They go on more. It seems like they go on like at least two every year.
Okay.
And
open
I mean,
to it.
Listen to the Cruise, You Got My Problem episode. And I talk about my grandparents being on a cruise right then. So like that was pretty recently.
Oh, that was kind of recent. Mm-hmm.
So they're on a cruise now. And I got a text from my grandma. She was like texting me for my birthday. And she was like,
nice.
Jamie, like happy early birthday. We'll be at sea tomorrow and we won't have service. And then I was like, oh, thank you. Like have so much fun. And then she texted me the next day on my birthday and I was confused. And I just want to read it to you. Here we go.
Okay. Perfect.
She says, and this is after the debacle on the first cruise when my grandpa had a heart issue and they had to like pull off at a dock in a random country. So on this cruise, she says, well, it has been quite an adventure. We are fine, but the ship has had engine problems and we did not get to go to our ports. They docked in Puerto Rico for repairs. On the way into the dock, the ship hit two concrete docks.
Wait, what?
So like the ship gets fucked up and so they like pull off in Puerto Rico to like get the ship repaired, but while they're trying to park to be repaired, they
full blown
run into two parts of the dock.
Oh,
and like
my God.
Fuck up the ship more. She said, now we will not get back to Port Canaveral until Sunday because we are limping along on two engines. If you want to see the news about us, Google Norwegian Epic Cruise Ship Hits Dock in San Juan, Puerto Rico. We have not.
I love her.
We have not had our phone coverage because we have not been in any ports. Here is the good news. 100% refund. Hope you had a great 29th birthday. We love you.
Well, 100% refund. I'll take it.
I mean, I will, but like, what a disaster.
Yeah, that's not the kind of vacation I want to be on.
It's not.
Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This? And so we could say you're a numerologist, if you will. And that's addiction.
Like 4x dick. Like it's like four times as large as usual.
Like how does your navel get like that?
Right.
That's disgusting.
How though?
I wouldn't want to live in Amish country permanently, but I would visit as a booty call.
I was so distracted by the sexy mystery. Fuck.
It's totally fine. You said sexy mystery and you were like, this one time?
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached. I'm gonna peek in high school and then die.
Welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Home of vacations you maybe don't want to be on. Or maybe you're listening to us while you're on a vacation you don't want to be on.
Hey, yeah,
that's
just
my ultimate
out.
Goal. But Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast mm-hmm. where we wax and wane poetically about some part of our culture, things people believe in, etc., in order to determine why people are the way that they are. And that's Jamie Ryan in Cincinnati, not to be confused with San Juan.
And that's Austin Williams in Chicago.
Oh, hi.
Welcome. But my grandpa was so funny about the cruise. We talked about it before they went because like they were like, oh, we're going to be gone on your birthday. We're going on this cruise. And I was like asking them about it and where they're going. And yeah. I kind of feel like they do the same circuit. Like they kind of go on like mostly the same cruise and hit like similar ports.
Okay. They're like not mixing it up and going between like we're doing an Alaskan cruise. We're doing the Bahamas. They're like mostly hanging in the same areas.
Mostly hanging in the same areas.
That's chill.
But it was interesting because I feel like my grandpa and I sometimes like connect over like enjoying travel. So we'll talk about like places that I want to go or places he's been or that he went when he like worked for GE or whatever. And so he was telling me about like their upcoming cruise, and it was so interesting how he was talking about what he likes so much about cruises.
Oh, elaborate.
He said that what he likes is that the feeling of like the ship is America. Like,
wait, what?
Like you, like he feels, and he didn't say this, but what he was saying was that he feels culturally safe because when they go to port, he gets off the ship, but knows the whole time that, like, that evening he's going back on the ship, like, into that bubble. And so, like, it makes him feel better, like, being in an unfamiliar place. And we say unfamiliar place, or I say unfamiliar place, but, like, they don't venture very much outside of, like, right there at the port where the cruise people tell them to go.
Right.
So they're not, like, diving in. But I just thought it was interesting. And I think some of that's generational and some of it's just, like, personality. But, like, his desire for, like, a cultural experience, like, maxes out because he's kind of afraid of it. And he's just, he gets uncomfortable. So he likes,
that's real.
Yeah, he likes feeling like he can go back on the ship and it's, like, a world that he understands. Anyway, I just, wanted to finish telling you about that cruise ship. And because I think maybe being afraid of the unknown is perhaps connected to what you want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're gonna get into some fear juju tonight. And that's an interesting one. Maybe, like, honestly, that's like a whole nother episode. But that said, I want to start with a specific fear.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about nyctophobia.
Did we just get a Latin word?
I'm sure there are Latin roots in there, right?
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Phobia is like an English thing, though, right?
I mean, I feel like I should know after all of the, like,
I'm
fetishes
sure
and phobias.
Comes from something
I read
in Latin. But everything comes from something in Latin in the English language, honestly, but.
Yeah, arachnophobia. I feel like phobia could be Latin for fear. I could sound like a real fool right now, but that's okay. But this is a word that means what?
This.
Go ahead.
So nyctophobia, which is an extreme fear of night or darkness that can cause intense symptoms of anxiety and depression. And, okay, so being afraid of the dark.
Origins
that's, like,
unknown.
Very much a thing that feels like it starts in childhood and is almost, like, viewed as this very normal part of development. That's it's like the expectation of, like, kids being afraid of the dark, right?
Yeah, kids wet the bed, they suck their thumb, they're afraid of the dark,
they might have an imaginary friend. It's just all these things that, like, feel like, oh yeah, kids do those things. Although not every kid, because I asked my mom recently if she was afraid of the dark as a kid, and my mom just went immediately, she went no.
What? Okay, well, also not every kid wets the bed.
I mean, true. Not every kid has an imaginary friend. I didn't.
Or sucks their thumb. But I did not have an imaginary friend.
I did not suck my thumb.
My Stretch Armstrong did have an elaborate personality in life, though.
Oh!
Until I found him leaking behind my dresser one day and tried to cover it up for months, and then it ruined the floor. Go on. They're just full of goo.
Listen, kids, Stretch Armstrong. Watch out for your parents' hardwoods. But so kids, generally speaking, have, like, a lot of strange and very specific fears, like, in general.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons why someone develops fears in childhood are diverse and complicated, according to people who talk about children and psychology.
Sure.
But I also think the reason that adults develop fears are diverse and complicated.
Most definitely.
So let me say that, too. But, like, any number of things can influence why a kid freaks out, like, because of dogs or, like, doesn't like thunder or, like, there are so many, you know, different experiences. But most people, apparently not my mother, experience at one point or another a fear of the dark.
Uh-huh. That's really, really natural.
Totally natural. And unlike a lot of other childhood fears, it's one that, like, a lot of people don't outgrow.
Yeah, I would say that I don't think that I have.
I don't think I totally have either, and we're gonna get to it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, let's just start with how, in general, maybe folks believe that kids are hardwired to be afraid of the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, like with dogs and thunder and, like, I don't know, any other weird thing. Did you have any weird fears as a kid?
Well, you know, I was, like, irrationally afraid of the devil, but, like, I think that was tied up in my fear of the dark. Like, the dark is unknown, and so, like, my head filled the dark, like, with evil things because I was, like, in a heavily Christian environment. So, like, that was how I focused my fears, was, like, creating, like, demons and, like, Satan in my brain. But I think that it was mostly probably just the dark.
Well, this is fair. So, like, a lot of fears are based on specific specific life experiences. And so, like, you being afraid of the devil.
Escalators. That's specific. I was afraid of escalators. Sorry.
Oh, I also had an issue with certain escalators. That's real.
I mean, it looks like metal teeth that are going to just suck you in there.
I wasn't afraid of them in that capacity. I just thought I was going to fall getting onto them. Like, oh. I was always afraid I was going to fall.
Yeah, I always did that funny little walk. I still sometimes do that funny walk up to it.
I think I did that in, like, too late in life. For I'm okay too long. Now. Yeah, I had a freak accident, though, on an escalator that was not working. I guess, like, a little over a year at this point, and I don't know, I'm still recovering from that trauma, honestly. That's a whole nother story. All of that said, things based on specific experiences. So, like, the devil, or maybe, like, the escalator, these were, like, specific experiences.
Yeah.
But the fear of the dark, people kind of accept maybe is, like, more universal and more innate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so fear of darkness, which is kind of, you know, can fall into nyctophobia. There was another word for this, like, I'm going to butcher this.
Go for it.
Achalophobia?
Acalophobia?
Maybe.
Who knows? No, I'm not even seeing it, so I don't take my...
Yeah, no, but I never heard what the difference between the two was in my research, so fuck it.
It's just people afraid of the dark. It's fine. That's what we're talking about.
People are afraid of the dark. And the reason being, most people believe, is not that the darkness itself is frightening, but it's a fear of what the darkness masks. So you kind of described, you were like, mm-hmm. Oh, the darkness, like, and the devil, there's a masking there. And dark leaves us vulnerable and exposed and unable to spot any kind of threat that, like, could be lurking nearby. It's like the boogeyman, the something under mm-hmm. my bed kind of narrative of something I can't see that could be lurking.
I would like to point out that we forget that the darkness masks us as well.
Like, yeah,
if
does.
You're afraid of what's in the dark, like, it's if you're afraid that, like, someone's, like, looking in your window or, like, gonna, like, come in your house, don't fucking turn the lights on in your house, because then, like, they can see you but you can't see them. So,
ooh,
like,
okay, that's giving me the heebie-jeebies. Okay, a little bit.
Well, but I mean, darkness can mask
you. I'm in a well-lit room in front of a dark window anyway. Oh my god.
But go on. I just want you to...
But also, for most of human history, homie, dark meant danger. And so you had to take precautions to be safe. If you think of, like, people living prehistorically and all of that.
The lion sleeps tonight, you know?
There's an advantage.
Yep.
Because if you're being cautious, because, like, the dark is dangerous, because you, like, could maybe, like, run into something you don't see, or, like, have it, like, a predator, they're like an animal that you don't know is coming, it requires you to be like, okay, we gotta, like, be smart about this. Mm-hmm. So, evolutionary advantage to be afraid of the dark.
And you can see animal eyes, like, in the desert at night, like, Navajo skinwalker lore, there's a theory that it came from just, like, in the desert at night, being able to see, like, all of the eyes of the animals, like, in the darkness, and, like, them then creating the myth of skinwalkers, like, thinking about people who, like, own the land at night. Just a theory, but interesting.
I mean, that's some spooky shit.
Yeah.
And also, like, evolutionarily, like, people being worried about, like, the eyes of animals again in darkness is, like, good, because you're, like, watching your back.
It is good.
Generally, though, it being, like, an evolutionary advantage, like, present day, is not so much the case anymore, mm-mm. particularly, like, in the Western places we're hailing from. But, because there's not much to fear when pretty much most of us spend, like, the darkest hours of the day just, like, wrapped up in our beds.
Yeah.
But darkness still has a serious place in our psyche as, like, this manifestation of the unknown, mm-hmm. or, like, this masker of things, which is scary. And psychologist Thomas Olendick, kind of love his name, not going to lie, who's the director of the child study at Virginia Tech, told Live Science that childhood fears of the dark come from a fear of the unexpected. Mm. Kids believe everything imaginable, that in the dark, robbers might come, or they could get kidnapped, or someone could come and take their toys. And our brains, in other words, like, equate darkness with the frightening side of unlimited possibilities.
Yeah, it's almost like darkness becomes, like, a canvas for everything you're afraid of. Oh my god, it's a boggart.
And I just want to... It Bogart. Is a boggart. And I just want to throw this out here, though. Remember how much shit I got from everyone, yourself included, regarding the dreams episode when I said that I sleep with my bedroom door open and that having it closed makes me stressed?
People that you don't even know.
That's the fear of the unknown.
That I work
with.
My
bedroom door is closed. It's like the rest of my apartment's in the dark.
Yeah.
Just
so many people gave you shit for that, like, that you don't even know.
I know that I've heard it secondhand, all of you who had a lot of problems with the fact that I have to sleep with my bedroom door open. If
they're
you're
like
listening
the breadth of my apartment. Fuck that.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I heard about your hatred firsthand and secondhand. Thank you. I appreciate it. I sleep with the door open, and I'm just saying psychologists seem to back what I'm saying as being a
so
normal.
So did this feng shui shit that I read this week on how you should sleep in the dark.
Listen, I stand by it. My door's still open. Anywho, like I alluded to, shockingly common in adults, and we both have agreed to having some darkness fears, I think, which we can get into. And as, like, people age, generally we disregard, you know, the link to, I don't know, just, like, fear of, like, the darkness, like, in an everyday life kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
But darkness can up the spook factor for novel situations.
Most definitely. And I do think that we're, like, almost just culturally, even through language, like, primed to be afraid of the dark. Because think about, like, the other ways we use the word darkness. Like, it's never positive.
No, it's, like, evil or...
Right, like, of course. Mm-hmm. So even though we might know rationally that, like, nighttime is not evil, like, we associate those words with bad things. And so, like, of
that's
course
true.
There's going to be some kind of correlation in your brain.
No, that's fair. And, like, as people, like you say, like, age out of this, though, and generally, like, most people ditch, like, their childhood nightlights. You know what I mean? Like, most of us aren't sleeping with nightlights.
I did do that, yes.
Right. That said,
bathroom light on is a thing, though.
Sometimes. I feel that. We'll get into it.
Yeah, go ahead.
But in 2012, there was a UK study. Just, like, of adults, no specific age range, where nearly 40% of the respondents said they were afraid to walk around the house with the lights off. And I was like, I can feel this.
Yeah.
And then 10% said that they wouldn't even get out of bed to use the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Aww.
And there was one small study where, like, half of the participants who characterized themselves as poor sleepers also admitted to being afraid of the dark, compared to, like, the quarter of the group that were like, we're all good. I'm a good sleeper. Like, I sleep well.
Yeah.
That they were like, no, I'm not afraid of the dark. And so then people were trying to maybe link from that. And could you say this is a large jump? I don't know. But that fear could be, like, powerful enough to cause chronic insomnia.
Well, I was actually going to ask if there was any kind of information on how many of the people in that study had, like, just general anxiety. Because I would think that people who have just, like, higher general anxiety would also have greater anxiety in the dark.
I mean, I think that's 100% true if you're, like, a more anxious person.
It also would prevent you from sleeping if you're a more anxious person.
100%.
Yeah.
And a connection to poor sleeping habits also makes it kind of easy to mistake, like, fear of, like, things like the dark or other fears as, like, more general anxiety. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's not, like, a clean way to separate that.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, if you're somebody who you're not able to fall asleep once it's dark and your mind starts to wander, and then you have the, like, what if someone breaks into my house?
Yeah.
And or, like, maybe you actually have a fear of burglars, but, like, you skip a step and, like, maybe
you're
afraid of the dark.
With
do you know what I mean? Like, which one are you really afraid of? Like, because maybe you're afraid of the dark, and that's what causes you to reel on these other fears. And you're like, oh, I'm afraid of someone breaking in my house. But, like, actually, maybe you don't ever think about that unless it's dark.
Right. It's like if I started to develop an anxiety about malls because I hated escalators.
That would be 100%. That would be, like, that would be the same kind of juju.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's generally people who studied it in kids and adults thought that, like, the fear of the dark for that reason, it's, like, the trigger so common. So unlike things like being afraid of dogs, because that's, like, pretty specific.
Yeah.
Like, the darkness, like, you're going to experience that in all sorts of different ways. It's kind of hard to contain, and it's hard to see how that manifests in fears of other things, like being afraid someone's going to break in or that kind of thing.
Well, it's almost like a rectangle square situation.
Well, what I was going to say is not even like, I hear where you're going with that in terms of like, if you're
like
afraid
it's a larger
of the dark,
category.
It's like other things fit into that.
Yeah.
But truly, like the fear of the darkness where I'm going with this, of it being like such a common trigger, mm-hmm. is that then it manifests as a fear to whatever you can think of.
Oh, it's like
you're
a gateway drug.
It's a gateway drug. Like, you're afraid of the dark. And so because you're afraid of the dark, you're like, someone could, like, break into my home.
It's
like
endless possibilities.
There's someone under the bed. Like, I struggle to think of, like, other things other than, like, intruder. But, like,
where does your
head
go? Like, in moments where you're more afraid of darkness, like, what do you find yourself being afraid of?
I truly think for me, it's like an intruder thing. And I will say, I've lived alone, like just me, myself, and I, for at this point, almost 9 years, which is crazy.
Yeah, I have for, I think, 5, but for a time before that as well.
Yeah, and so I like, generally am pretty, like, comfortable and fine with it, because it's like very much been my norm.
Yeah.
And I've gone from, like, as I've like gotten older and like had more funds or whatever, I've gone from like smaller apartments to like larger apartments. And I think because I had that gradation, like maybe if I like the first apartment I lived in is the one I live in now, because I have a decent amount of space,
yeah.
I might have been more like spooked by that. Now, that said, recently as in like, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago or something,
uh-huh.
I was in Cincinnati. I had popped in to like catch up with some friends, take care of some biz, and my parents were not in town.
Yeah.
And so, but I was staying at their place, and I stayed at their house.
Yeah.
And I, like, the first night I was there, truly, like, the first night I was there, and I was staying there 2 nights, I, like, when I got into town, I, like, caught up with some homies, I had some drinks, and I got home and was just, like, tired and, like, mm-hmm. a little drunk and, like, ready to just go to bed. And then the second night, I was, like, stone sober, and in that moment, I remember I was, like, upstairs in my room, like, my old room, I guess,
yeah.
in my parents' house, and I just, like, kept, like, hearing things that I'm sure were the house settling,
uh-huh.
and just, like, it is, like, an older house, and, like, it makes noise, and there's just, like, a lot more space, and I was, like, but there was nobody that was supposed to be there, and to me, I was, like, there's so much, like, shit I can't see, like, it didn't matter
yeah.
that bedroom door was open, and I got up, I left super early, and I was like, I just have to get the fuck out of here. Like, I was freaked.
Even in the morning?
And I guess, yeah, I left, like, early. Like, I didn't sleep well at
That's
all, and I think I left at, like, 6 and got in my car and drove back to Chicago, because I was like, fuck this.
Oh, yeah.
But, and I think, though, some of that was, it was the first time I think I'd, like, slept in my parents' house by myself.
Ever?
And probably, no,
oh.
not ever. Not
like, wait,
all,
what?
Like, probably in, like, I don't know, maybe like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Because usually if I'm at my parents' house, my parents are there.
Right. Because like it, right.
yeah. Like
it's
I'm like
Christmas,
honestly,
when you're there. Yeah.
Yeah. It was probably like college was like the last time I was
sure.
like in their house when they weren't home, like breezing through or something. Or,
do you ever do a full check of the house or your apartment?
No, I know that that's something you do, though.
Yeah, I do, like, full police sweep sometimes. I haven't recently. I've been, my anxiety's been lower. But, yeah, I used to, like, when I would come home from work late, like, when I came in, I would do, like, a check of every room, and I would start, like, right by the door so that, like, and turn on all the lights as I went so that, like, no one could, like, run behind me and hide in a place I had already checked.
Wow.
Because I get paranoid about that. And then if I'm not diligent about that while I'm checking the apartment, I have to recheck it because I'm like, well, some asshole could have, like, gone into the bedroom when I was, like, checking the bathroom closet. But
James,
I know.
See, when you talk about the way that you, like, check for things and, like, the things that you do that make yourself feel
safer. It keeps
safer,
me safe, man. I've told you about multiple instances where my vigilance has been helpful.
It's true, but I will say when you describe to me, like, what you do to be vigilant, it actually, like, I find it frightening.
Well,
like,
yeah,
and I'm not,
of course.
Like, like you being like, would you ever do a sweep? Like, actually, if I wanted to scare myself, like in my own home before I went to bed, which I feel like we're going to accomplish in this episode.
Yeah, probably.
Like, a thing that would scare me would be to check all of my closets.
It makes me feel so much better.
It actually, see, like, it gives me the heebie-jeebies, because if I'm doing something like that, the assumption is that something's wrong or that someone could be there.
Oh, and so I always think about that. And I check behind larger furniture items sometimes if I'm really worried that, like, if I've been gone for a couple days and I'm like, someone may have had time to burrow into the wall.
I mean, the time you asked me if I ever checked the oven to see if, like, a small midget.
Always check the fucking oven and the fridge.
That shit, like, honestly, like, the thought of doing that in my house, the cabinets, like, after dark freaks
if
me the fuck out.
If I can fit in the cabinet, I need to check it.
I love how that gives you a peace of mind and how I actually, like, it terrifies me.
And I feel empowered. And I try to get into, like, a really ballsy mindset when I'm doing the check. Like, if somebody's here, I'm just going to fuck them up.
All right.
You got to. Because otherwise, you're really afraid.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about fear responses, because I feel like you and I are super fucking different.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do think in, like, a situation that there was a lot to be afraid of, and there's probably less to be afraid of than maybe our imaginations let us both personally believe.
Mm-hmm.
But if, like, our fears of, like, intruders and all the things were as heightened as they, like, if that were reality,
yeah,
if reality were heightened to our fear level, I'm convinced you would definitely survive longer than me.
Thank you.
But I want to talk just, like, a little bit about...
I've avoided being abducted before. I told you about when I was a child and that man tried to take me from the children's place store. Okay,
I
came down the slide
familiar.
And he, like, held up a dress and he was like, you're the same size as my daughter. Like, I need you to try this on for me. And I was like, what? And then he picked me up and walked me out of the store. And so I started kicking him in the chest. And then my mom and dad ran out of the store and my dad punched him in the face. And then the man, like, went away.
That's fucking insane.
It's insane. Sometimes I think about that and I'm like, wow, I wonder if he abducted anyone.
I mean, I feel
that the answer is probably.
Yeah, I don't think that you're wrong.
Not to throw down a terrifying, really short story, but that's what I did. Go ahead.
Ooh. Well, here's a quick flip side on father reactions on that.
Yeah.
When my dad used to take, like, run an errand to the local hardware store.
Yeah.
Facts. And so, like, imagine your local hardware store in the 90s. It's not a big place. We were going to Home Depot.
It was Hader Hardware. And I loved the way it smelled.
Yeah, oh, just like grass seed and drywall.
And one time my grandma made peas that tasted just like the smell of Hader Hardware, which I enjoyed, but in hindsight, know something was wrong with them.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you.
So, yes, thank you. So, my dad, like, the tale there, when he used to have to just, like, run, like, a hardware store trip, I remember, like, getting a pep talk from him in a store that was not large, but, like, probably felt larger to me as a kid.
Sure.
And my dad would be like, if anybody comes through, like, to give this to me and my sister, he goes, if anybody, like, you know, messes with you, tries to talk to you, whatever, my dad would be like, you scream on the top of your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And the act of my dad, like, doing that, or times that, like, I was a younger kid and my dad,
probably,
like,
scared the shit out of you.
Yeah, exactly. And there was one time that my dad, like, my mom had to do something in the morning and my dad had to leave for work and my mom was coming back, but it was, like, before I went to school. And my dad gave me this pep talk of, like, don't open the door for anyone in a way. And he was, like, trying to, like, fucking always incite, like, the fear of, like, self-defense in me. But he did it in a way that, and I, like, I think I was, like, maybe I was probably too old. I'm not even going to admit what age it was. I think I was too old to be this fucking freaked out. But,
it's okay.
I don't know. It was grade school. But he gave me this pep talk of, like, don't open the door for anyone. Like, your mom will be home and then, like, whatever. But, like, don't, like, even, like, and my dad would always say things really hyperbolic. Like, don't open the door even if they say it's the police.
Sure, right.
Which is good advice.
It is,
like,
good advice.
As a kid, like, when your dad's giving you this, it always made me feel like someone's definitely going to try and come in here in the 20 minutes of, like, parental, like, not
here.
Oh,
yeah. It's going to happen, and I'm ready for it.
When my mom got home, I heard, like, her car pulling up in the driveway, but I couldn't, like, identify it as her car. Yeah. And the whole experience, like, scared me so much. When my mom came in, I was hiding behind the couch crying. So I was
That's so funny. But Stranger Danger talks, like, do actually scare the shit out of you. I mean, it's good, I guess, but, like, it scared me. Like, one time my parents had me, like, they were having that conversation with me, and I don't remember if it was before or after I was nearly abducted at the mall, but
maybe that's why you're afraid of escalators.
Maybe, but then maybe I'm just afraid of the mall.
Maybe you're actually afraid of the mall.
Anyway, my parents did like a Stranger Danger like demo with me, and my mom like pretended to kidnap me. And I had to like,
she probably couldn't have kept it together.
I had to like scream and like make a scene like appropriately, and they were like, you really have to be as loud as you can. We did this outside in the driveway at my grandparents' house, and then I like started crying afterward, and they were like, no, like, you did a good job, like, this isn't real, why are you upset? And I was like, I just like, I don't want to be afraid of you. And like in that moment that we were like role playing that, I was like, so afraid of my mom, because I was like, you're trying to kidnap me right now. And obviously like it was my mom and it was fine, but like, I don't know, just like the way that fear can like pop up in a second.
And you describing checking your home or your apartment to me actually like gives me Stranger Danger fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to talk just a little bit about a couple tidbits that Psychology Today thinks are important about fear in general.
One of our favorite sources.
One of our absolute favorite sources, only behind Wikipedia. So one thing I thought that was interesting in general is just that they threw out fearlessness doesn't mean eliminating fear. Being fearless means knowing how to leverage fear.
Huh.
And I just thought that was interesting.
That's like actually a really empowering way to think about fear, because fear is something that just feels like so insurmountable that like the idea of not having to like quote fully overcome it or like changing what that looks like feels good to me. Go on.
Well, it resonated with me in that lane of you describing, okay, I worry that there's going to be somebody in my place, but I have this ritual that actually makes me, although it would terrify Austin, makes me feel like super empowered and like I got this. Well, and so you just leveraged your fear.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking of when you were reading it, was like, oh, even though maybe like that fear that I have and that thing I do looks irrational or frightening to other people, like that does work for me. And so, like, I do that and it feels okay.
Yeah. No, it's real.
Hmm.
So other kind of just, I want to give some general thoughts on what they're saying. But one that they just throw out, fear is healthy. You're hardwired in your brain for a good reason. Like, it's, you have, like, systems in your prefrontal cortex and all the things that electronically and chemically stimulate you, and they produce fear. Even in the absence of fearful stimuli, and it's not abnormal, and it's not a sign of weakness. It's just, like, a part of how brains work. Mm-hmm. And actually, truthfully, a lack of fear might be a sign of serious brain damage.
True. So. Yeah. Yeah. And evolutionarily, also, like, fear is, like, a good thing that keeps us alive.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we hearken back to, like, being afraid of the dark was, like, good to self-preserve.
Yeah. And there are unfortunately leftover things that I think we're biologically afraid of that we don't need to be afraid of anymore. But like our biology can't like evolve as fast as like we're creating a new world for ourselves, you know?
100%. They also throw out that fear comes in many shades. And this kind of harkens to what you were saying before and we touched on. But fear can be inherently unpleasant, and it can range from like super mild to like totally paralyzing. And it can be like, for all sorts of differing degrees of situations, whether you're like waiting for results to come back from a checkup or you hear about like a terrorist attack, like different scales here. But like big horrifying events leave permanent marks on your brain. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you might need like professional help because like chronic stress, anxiety,
and depending on how bad it is, like stressors and like trauma can like actually change the physical structure of your brain.
It's true.
Yeah.
And it's why people talk about trauma being generational in some ways, and that makes a ton of sense to me.
And they looked at Holocaust survivors' offspring, actually, and found that there were, like, genetic mutations along their lineage, like, of only Holocaust survivors. And they believe that it's, like, because trauma creates, like, changes in our genetic code.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Real,
yeah.
It's fucking crazy. But so serious physical and mental harm can happen over time. So note that, like, noted, there can be, like, rough and real tough.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing they note is that it's not as automatic as you think. And I was like, tell me more. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Because fear's, as they defined it, part instinct, part learned, part taught. So instinct, like, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm with that.
Oh, separating learned and taught is fascinating.
Taught's kind of the stranger danger thing that we were talking about.
Yeah.
But we'll break this down. So instinctive fears, pain is a good example because you have fear about pain instinctively because, like, survival implications.
Yeah,
like, you try to avoid things that would hurt.
Right.
Fears that are often learned are to be, like, afraid of certain people or places or situations because of negative associations or past experiences. Like how you're afraid of the mall because you almost got kidnapped.
Right.
That would be a learned fear. A near drowning incident would be, like, another example that you could be, like, afraid of water because you had this. Or, like, afraid of dogs. You got bit by a dog.
A plane, like, crash. Whatever. Yeah.
Right. Like, you experienced this. And then fears that are taught. They talked about cultural norms are often something that's, like, it dictates whether or not something should be feared. So,
is this my grandpa not wanting to stay off the cruise ship overnight?
It's super in that lane. And when you were talking about that, I thought about this because certain social groups are feared and often persecuted because there's a socially created impression that they're dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
And, like, maybe that some of that's true on, like, his lane and other people's, but also some of that, like, could just be, like, fear of the unknown also. Like, I
absolutely.
Don't, like...
Absolutely. And it's a really complex cocktail of
I don't know
fear.
What's going on. Yeah, yeah, it is, for sure.
Yeah, some real, some imagined, some learned, whatever, some taught. Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought that's an interesting way to break it down, and it did make me kind of categorize
Very
some of my own fears. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That said... You don't need danger to be scared is another thing they throw out, which felt in the lane of taught and learned.
Uh-huh.
Because fear is also part imagined and can arise in the absence of something scary. So, like, we don't even have to be around that group we've taught, like, learned was scary, or we don't have to be around water that, like, we drowned that one time or
whatever. We drowned that one time.
You know, that one time we drowned.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, so our brains are so efficient that basically, like, any range of stimuli that are not scary or even present, like, we can still be scared.
Yeah,
and
our brains
get
are too
scared
efficient.
Because we can imagine what could happen.
Right, right, because we're anticipating, like, possible, like, issues. Oh, it sucks.
They call that, like, anticipatory anxiety, and then...
I have a lot of that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, real. And then things like if we like fearing any kind of stimuli that like aren't necessarily scary is like a conditioned fear, right? You're I feel like a good example of that might be like being afraid of spiders.
Now
there are certain ones that are definitely poisonous, but being afraid of daddy long legs isn't necessarily like
they're fine.
Even though I'm totally not down with spiders. But
no, not at all.
Within
Sorry,
that
guys. Yeah.
within that like realm. It's why neuroscientists claim that humans are the most fearful creatures on the planet.
Well, I kind of feel like the more brain activity something can have, like the more fearful it would become. And maybe that's short-sighted of me. I don't know.
No, that's exactly it. The reason they claim that is because of our ability to learn, to think, and then to create fear in our own minds.
Well, we're the only creatures we think that can, think forward. Like, we can envision a situation that has not happened.
Right.
You know? And so, like, a dog isn't, like, they may be alert if something seems off, but a dog isn't sitting in a calm room where everything's fine, thinking about how maybe later tonight it will have to fight an intruder that comes in.
Exactly. Yeah. There's something there. And then kind of this feels like an innate thing that they called out, but I thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. The more scared you feel, the scarier things will seem.
Oh, and I was like, yeah.
I was like, well, yeah, that sounds stupid, but
yeah, even days where you're higher anxiety when someone comes up behind you.
Yes, and perfect example.
Just to say hi or like taps you, like I jump the fuck out of my skin some days and other days not.
Well, and even if we harken it back to the spider thing, it's like if you saw a spider or like we're watching something and there's spiders on TV and then you kept thinking you were feeling them, like a little tickle or like
there's
a thread
or a
piece of your hair.
Yeah.
Or if you're afraid of flying and like you have just even the littlest bit of turbulence, it's going to set you off because you're already afraid.
Well, honestly, since that flight that you and I took, so when there's turbulence, I get ready for the experience that we had.
I honestly, though, that experience has just made me more afraid of turbulence than it has of flying.
Me
only
too.
Because I like really thought I was maybe going to throw up.
Oh, I just felt like it was probably the end for us. Brief synopsis. Austin and I were on a flight to Florida one time that just like could not get its shit together in the weather or with the engines or something, and like dropping like a roller coaster, and then
they were doing like touchdown landings and pulling back up repeatedly.
Climbing
we did it
back
like three
up.
Times. It was not fun.
Then we had a brief emergency landing in Miami before arriving in Fort Myers. But yeah, that makes me feel more nervous on planes because that happened. And do I think always that it's going to crash? No, but I am worried that it's going to like drop thousands of feet like the Fort Myers plane did.
Well, that's fair.
Because that's not fun either. But hey, if it happens, I guess, okay, whatever.
Well, it's true. And then the next two that I want to talk that I thought were interesting, the last two points that they make, so fear dictates the actions you take. Mm. This is where I think you and I are super different and where I alluded to you being more likely to survive.
But also, I think I have lower quality of life for that reason. Go on.
Okay. So actions motivated by fear fall into four types.
Oh, I've never heard of this.
Okay.
This is really fun. Sorry, go ahead.
Two of these, you'd be like, yes. And then the other two, you'd be like, oh, I didn't know we'd call those two types.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
Freeze.
Oh, yeah.
The one you're going to definitely know, fight.
Oh, this is what we're talking about. Yeah.
Flight.
What's
so fight or flight. Fright.
How is that different from freeze?
Okay, so freeze means you stop what you're doing and focus on whatever the fearful thing is and decide what to do next.
And that's actually a parasympathetic nervous system response, whereas fight or flight is just sympathetic nervous system. Thought that was interesting, but go ahead.
No, I do think that's interesting. And so that it's almost kind of like the first... Like it's like almost the first step. And so like you're like you get the stimuli, you freeze, and you're like, okay, what do I do? And that's when you would then pivot to choosing fight or flight.
Yeah. Unless you decide just stay whether, frozen.
Right, which we're gonna get to.
Yeah.
Because that's me.
It's me too, go ahead.
Oh, I wouldn't think it
sometimes
is you.
It really depends.
Okay. So you choose fight or flight. And that's, you're going to either, like, deal with the threat directly, that's the fight, or you're going to, like, work around it. And then when the fear is overwhelming, you experience fright. You neither fight nor flee. Hi, this is me. In fact, you do nothing. You might obsess over it, but you, like, are going to take no action.
Yeah.
And being continuously in a fright mode can lead to hopelessness and depression. Like, if that's something you're feeling all the time,
yeah.
I will say my personal, like, feelings of, like, fright mm-hmm. are, like, on the intruder thing. Like, and in any situation where I should have, like, I feel like run or, like, fought somebody, I often am, like, just pretend you're dead is
yeah.
like my go-to,
yeah.
which is not
let darkness
a good
be
defense.
Your cloak. But go on.
What's that?
I said, let darkness be your cloak. Don't be afraid of it.
You know,
hide in
I'm
the dark
like
a dead body.
I'm always like, if I just pretend I'm dead. I did hear a story though one time about like a girl in college. She heard one of her roommates come home. Except it wasn't one of her roommates. And then the person who was, like, trying to burgle them, she did what I would have done, which is not what you should do. I'm just telling everyone
just
this.
Just lay
don't
there
do
quietly?
This. Yeah, she was just like, just pretend to be asleep. And then like halfway through, like Burgledom person like realized she was there. And I was
Oh my God.
Like snuck out. That was their MO. But like if you had been with like a different kind of robber, man, it was like a different kind of situation.
So what do you think your freeze response in like an intruder situation?
I think I'm like fright response in an intruder situation and that I'm like, holy fuck, and I don't do anything.
Just like screaming and standing there. Yeah.
I know I don't even think I'd scream. No, I would just be like, frozen. Pretend you're dead.
Yeah.
Like if I were in bed and someone snuck in, that would be my pretend you're dead.
Yeah. No, I've definitely done that when I think I've like heard someone come into my apartment. I just like lay there as still as I can and like not breathe.
Right.
But then usually I am like, I can't go back to sleep until I know what's going on. And so then I like get really brave and I like grab whatever is like a thing that I could hit someone with that's near my bed. And I turn the light on in that room and I have all my muscles tensed, ready to swing. And then I check the whole apartment and then I go back to bed.
Okay, well, this is what I want to pivot us to, though, on the next and the last thing that Psychology Today gives us.
Yes.
Is the more real the threat, the more heroic your actions.
Oh, that's like when I chase that guy out my front lawn.
That is like when you chase that guy out your front lawn.
Yeah.
So we react differently to real and imagined threats. And I think maybe the reason I like fright play is because most of the time when I like think something is up, like I've never actually had an intruder.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I have like on some level been like, oh my God, there's someone, or like what if there is someone, or I saw something, or I don't take heroic actions. But I then part of me looked like read this and thought, well, I was like, well, maybe I don't really think it's real because it hasn't been.
Oh,
but imagine threats cause paralysis. Being scared about all the bad things that may or may not happen in the future is something that like makes you worry a lot. But you don't take a lot of action. Like you worry, but you're not going to take a lot of action.
Yeah.
You're stuck in a state of fear. You might be overwhelmed.
The fear is abstract, so it's really hard to deal with it.
Right. But real threats cause frenzy. So when like a threat is imminent and like you can't necessarily define it or whatever, like you're going to jump into action immediately without flinching.
Yeah.
And that's why people are more likely to change like their eating habits after like they have a heart attack versus just like after like they read something that was like, you probably shouldn't eat that stuff that you're eating.
No, they can really feel the cold hand of death on their shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like any kind of situation in which it's why like a kid falls into like a, you know, a river and somebody just like jumps because it's like the fear and like the threat is imminent and it's like you don't have time, you just act. But if you were like somebody who was like, I don't know, chaperoning a bunch of kids around a body of water and like everybody was like fine, but you were like, what if anything could happen, but like you might, like you're not gonna do anything. So I don't know. It did make me like maybe give myself a little bit more grace on like some of the times that I've been like, man, I like really, if something were actually terribly wrong, I would have just like,
yeah, because
just
honestly,
rolled over and played dead.
I don't know that you would, because times when I have like boogeyman feelings, I do like lay stiff and just like listen and like wait frozen. But like,
like you alluded to, there was a time when someone was hiding on the side of your apartment.
Yeah, right by my bedroom window. Yeah.
And you literally, like, screamed and chased this person.
I did. And, like, in hindsight, sometimes I, like, can't believe that I did that. But I've also done things like this in moments of danger more than once. Like, and I'm so happy that, like, my body and my brain respond this way to real threat because, like, I've always been surprised by it when it happens because, like you said, the way I respond to like imagined threats is very like, quote, weak. Like, I am not a hero in moments of imagined threats. Like, I don't know. I feel like I have a lot of anxiety that makes me freeze up about a lot of things. But when someone is like actually maybe going to hurt me or somebody that I care about, like, it's like nothing matters anymore. And I'm just like, fuck you for doing this. And it's just like rage takes over me. And like what happened in the moment that I alluded to was, it was like 3 a.m. I had worked a bar shift and came home late. And like at 3, I went outside and I was just like going to have a cigarette. And I have like a side patio at my apartment that used to be your apartment.
Our apartment.
Our apartment. And the side patio goes all the way back along the building, like into kind of like a tree covered ivy area. So it's really dark back there, and it's pretty far away from the street. And so there's really no lights, and there were no exterior lights on the building. So I go out there, and the last couple nights, like before this night I'm describing, I just had kind of had the heebie-jeebies when I went out there to smoke. And I just was like, I don't know, maybe I should smoke in the front of the building. I'm just like feeling uncomfortable for some reason. And so that night when I went out, I was like, I have to check. Something about, sixth sense, like I don't feel okay. And so I flipped my phone flashlight on, and I walked down along the side of the building, like back toward where like the ivy area is, where it's really dark. And I shone my flashlight, and I saw, like, at first I thought nothing. But then I was like, wait a minute. Like, there's not, like, a pipe right there. And I realized it was just, like, a lot of black clothing, not a pipe, when I saw, like...
It, like, scares me again to rehear this.
Yeah. Well, I saw, like a really big calf, like a person, like the lower part of a leg, because this guy had like a black hoodie and black athletic shorts on, and he was a white guy. And so like when I shone my light over there, like his calf was really bright. And I was maybe 3 feet from him.
Oh my God.
I know. And I just remember like looking at that calf and like for a second, not registering that was a person.
Right there. Right. And that's how I would imagine it going down.
Yeah.
If I were in your
shoes.
Was
just like, that's a calf, like not that's a person.
Right.
And I like shone the light up like toward his head, and he had his head like tucked down and covered with his hands like flat against the wall, like fucking Spider-Man. And so I couldn't see his face, which obviously he did on purpose. And I like started to back up a little bit, but I kept the light on him. And I was just like, dude, I see you. Get the fuck out of here. I'm calling the police right now. And I like took 2 steps back, because that's like the only way that he could leave was to run past me toward the street. And so like I like ran back up onto the steps toward my apartment, and he ran by with his face covered, and I like kept my flashlight on him the whole time. And I think that he thought I was filming him because it was my phone with a bright light.
Oh,
and I
should have,
but I didn't think about that until after. So he ran with his face covered out into the front lawn onto the street outside, and I chased his ass out into the front lawn holding my phone on him, and watched him get into his car that had been parked outside for 2 days before this incident. I had seen his car out there, and drove away. And I like tried to get the plate, and I couldn't quite read it, but I called the police, and they were had a very lackluster response. But
yeah, they were, the police were not helpful.
They were not helpful anyway. I feel like now energized talking about that. That's crazy. But like, I'm so happy that that's how I reacted, because if you ask me how I would react in that situation, that's not what I would guess. It's what I would hope,
really?
But it's not what I would guess. Because this man was much larger than me.
Yeah. I don't fucking know what I would do.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Other situations, like
dipshits on that one. I'm just gonna be real.
I don't know.
But your landlord was not. So.
Oh no! Actually, yeah. Let me finish that story by saying that our landlord, is truly incredible. And literally 2 days later, because I just sent him an email. I was like, I feel like I have to tell you this, but like I don't want to make it a huge thing. But just like because I filed a police report, I feel like I need to tell you. And just like, it's your building, like someone was maybe trying to break in. And 2 days later, he had installed 3 motion lights along the side of the building in that area. So now, like, if I go out there at night, like the lights kick on and I can see like all along the building and like the adjacent property. So like there's no fucking way anybody could be out there.
I also bet that deer set that thing off.
Thing off like crazy. And sometimes it scares me. And I peek out, and then I'm like, you know what? It's an animal.
Man.
I'd be checking the snow for prints, though.
Yeah, you do.
Because last year there were prints back to that area. Like adult footprints back to my window and then back out front. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? But I have not seen them this year.
Praise. That was like fucking, I'm still scared.
Yeah, sorry if that story was too long, but that is my recent fear issue.
Listen, it feel like that sheds a lot of light, though, into like, if you have an experience like that, you're gonna take precautions and like be more fearful. Like, this is a learned
totally, and you can fear. Shake it off. Like, that was probably 6 months ago, I think, or maybe longer. That was like last May, maybe, and only in the last probably 6 weeks have I stopped doing a full sweep of my apartment when I get home.
That's a fucking real
and
thing.
Like looking for his car. Yeah.
Well, this brings me to a point that I guess I want to talk a little bit about why some people enjoy being scared.
Yeah. Which and is maybe me why sometimes. Some of us I love a haunted don't. House.
I know, because we just told like a fucking really scary story.
Yeah, sorry.
In my opinion. And so I don't know. So why do people sometimes enjoy being scared? And then let's also talk about like why we don't.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Fear creates distraction, which can be a positive experience. When something scary happens, like in that moment, we're like on high alert. Exactly. So you become not preoccupied with other things. So if you're like you said, watching a scary movie or you're in a haunted house, great examples of like scares that we seek out for pleasure.
Yeah.
You're like on high alert, so you're not worried about shit at work
or
relationship stuff. It brings us to like the here and the now, like so presently. Like you have to be there.
Very similar to like workaholism. It's like something that requires all of your focus and preoccupies you maybe from other things that you don't want to think about.
Okay. No, that's real.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
When we experience super frightening things with people in our lives, oftentimes, like, emotions can be contagious in a positive way. Because, like, we're social creatures. We learn from one another.
Yeah.
And so if you're, like, at a haunted house and you're, like, screaming, but then you're, like, laughing, like, with your friends, you're, like, socially, like, up in this emotional state, which can positively influence your own. And it does make me think, I know there are studies on this and statistics aside or whatever, like what's the kind of date you're supposed to go on if you want to fall in love with someone,
right? Because it bonds you really hard to be afraid.
You're supposed
together.
To do something thrilling. So like people who like go to an amusement park or like watch a horror movie are more likely to like have like a heightened connection than if you like go drink a latte somewhere together,
right?
Because one, it's like elevating your pulse, and so then like you're gonna associate like racing heart with this person.
Yeah.
But it also really like makes you be really present. And I don't know, I relate to this. My first kiss was during Freddy Krueger, so like I'm here for semi-scary. I don't know how scary
it's
Freddy
fine
Kruger
I
is.
Lost my virginity during Saw.
Yes. I've never been happier about anything. So listen, I'm just saying, if you're trying to get lucky.
Let's not say lost. Had sex for the first time during Saw.
That's right. There you go. Nothing is lost. That's right. I love everything about this. So apparently the key to our hearts is fucking scaring us. But
key to that puss, at least. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
Listen, I don't think that mine didn't happen during a horror movie. Anyway.
Go on.
First like legit make out though, Freddy Krueger. Great. So I'm so distracted by Saw. I love it. Okay. So all of these factors, the context, the distraction, and the social learning have the potential to influence the way we experience fear. And a common theme that connects all of them is our sense of control. We're able to recognize what it is and that the threat isn't real.
Yeah.
Like, if you were actually, like, the threat of Saw is real, you'd, like, probably wouldn't have gotten naked. You would have hid.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we know it's not a real threat, and we can, like, rely on the experience and enjoy the moment. And ultimately, we're in a place where we feel in control. Because, like, if you're at a scary movie, you know that, like, you can stop watching, or you can turn it off, or you can, if you're in a theater, you can leave, whatever.
Or as
if you're
Bill a haunted Clinton house. Says, we can cover our eyes during the scary parts.
That's right, Bill Clinton, my spirit animal. But the perception of control is vital to how we experience and respond to fear. And when we overcome the initial fight or flight rush, we often feel super satisfied because we're reassured of our safety, and we're also more confident in our ability to confront things that initially scare us, which I assume can be kind of like tied up in why some like people believe in exposure to things that you're afraid of, like curing your fears.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a weird part of psychology that not everybody gets down with.
And I feel like, and I do not know this for real, so if you're a therapist and you're listening to me say this incorrectly, I'm sorry. But it feels to me, just like from how much I have not heard anyone talk about exposure therapy lately, like it just reminds me of the 90s. Like, I feel like we heard a lot about exposure therapy, like, then, and not so much anymore. So who knows if it's good for you or not.
When I think about it, I think of a very specific episode of Criminal Minds where there was, like, the serial killer was killing all these people in all these different ways, and they couldn't figure out the signature. But he was posing as, like, a therapist or a psychiatrist that people were going to see. And then he was into exposure therapy, but then he was actually killing them by their greatest fears. So they were literally being scared to death. So, like, he buried someone alive. He, like, drowned someone who was afraid of water. Like, it was fucked up.
Well, I mean, kudos to him on the plan, but that's fucked up.
Yeah, it was kind of a scary episode, to be real. Yeah. But, But, so, like, listen, the situations that we're in control, like, we are confident, we confront, we know we're in control, we're reassured, and we're satisfied afterwards. So what are the situations in which we would, like, not enjoy being scared? Okay. It's when there's an imbalance between the excitement caused by the fear and then the sense of control in, like, the context, like, it's not enough or it's too much.
I feel like roller coasters and the way different people feel about them are maybe a good example of, like, the threshold for this part of fear.
I completely agree with you. Because if we perceive the experience as too real...
Right. Like, you and I have different feelings on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't like roller coasters. I don't like the sensation of free fall.
Yeah, so right. So the fear of it is, like, too real and, like, passes a threshold of, like, enjoyability for you. But
it does.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, 100%. I agree with you. And so, like, you can have the too real and an extreme fear response, like, you don't, I mean, you can overcome, like, and have a sense of control over the situation. And roller coasters are honestly a thing, like, I don't think I'll ever love them, but, like, I've done them many times in social situations, and...
Yeah, this is how my grandma is. Like, she's,
and
like,
they're less stressful to me than they used to be.
Right. She's learned to be okay with, like, going on Tower of Terror with us because she wants to participate, but, like, she's only gonna go one time.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah. It's, like, I feel like I just, like, I end up doing stuff sometimes, and... I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. But I'm like, I don't have fun. But when I was a kid, I used to be at the point that I'd be like, I can't get on. No.
And there were times when I would, like, cry about my family wanting me to go on a ride that I was, like, too afraid to go on. But I felt like I should go on because of social pressure.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
But then, so we've got the flip side of, like, okay, there are things for, like, people who do love scary experiences, but... like, there can be, like, a pivot. So, I don't know. Maybe for me, I'm going to be down with the Freddy Krueger movies, because I already said I was.
Yeah.
But I might find... an example for me, I've never watched any of the Hannibals, because, like, the previews fucking stressed me out.
We really need to watch those together, because they are much more similar to, like, just a really interesting, thrilling sort of, like, SVU or Criminal Minds series than, like, the... thing that's going to keep you awake at night, because Hannibal's, like, kind of likable, which is maybe the scariest part, but, like, I don't know. I feel like you'd like it.
I feel like I'd like it now, but I think when those, like, previews were on TV,
the previews are scary.
I was like way too young to be at a place watching.
We should not have seen those when they came out.
No. And so, like, when the previews were on television for, like,
Hello, Clarice.
Hannibal 2 or, like, whatever it is, I remember, like, finding that to be really distressing. And so to this day, like, I just have, like, negative feelings about it that I'm like, I don't want to watch it.
And but, like, you have a concept of Hannibal in your brain.
Yeah.
That totally. May or may not even be true to the film.
Because, like, I feel like it's honestly probably completely false.
Yeah, and because you don't know, much like The Dark and The Unknown, like, you're able to, like, blow his character even further than the movie in your head.
Oh, yeah, easily.
It's and pretty so, bad, though, but go on.
Yeah. But all of that said, like, okay, so, like, you're into being scared, but, like, some, like, scary movies would be cool and some wouldn't be because they feel too real or just,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, subject, whatever.
Right. But so, on the other hand, you could have an experience that's not triggering enough to your emotional brain, so you're not going to enjoy the scared part. Because if it's too unreal to, like, the cognitive part of your brain... The experience ends up feeling boring.
Oh, yeah.
And in the study I read, like, an example they gave that they were like, okay, if there's, like, a biologist that is just, like, really in tune with, like, how bodies work, like, they're not going to enjoy The Walking Dead maybe as much as another person because they're just going to be like, this isn't a thing.
No, their brain's poking holes in it the whole time. Like, they can't suspend their disbelief because of, like, knowledge that they have.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have anything like that that you think of that you're like, I, like, this, like, could be scary, but, like, I can't, just, like, can't believe it enough to be scared by it?
There are some, like, supernatural movies that don't scare me very much. I'm trying to think of, like, alien movies really don't scare me.
Okay.
Even when they're, like, quote, very scary. And I... It's not because I don't necessarily believe in aliens, but it's because I feel like aliens just, like, destroying the Earth is either, like, a thing that I fully can't control and is going to happen without me, like, and then I'll just be dead, or, okay, like, is so out of the realm of possibility. And maybe it's just that it's so out of the realm of anything I've ever experienced, so I don't have any learned fear about it, that... those movies are boring to me. Like, I don't know. I don't have interest in, like, and I know this is an outdated reference, but, like, an Independence Day or, like, when Signs was popular, or Sign or Signs?
Yeah, Signs. Sorry. Was the M. Night Shyamalan one with Mel Gibson.
Like, when that was popular, mm-hmm, like, I didn't find that scary or very interesting simply because I was just, like, it felt so, incredible to me.
Yeah, it didn't.
Whereas,
it, like,
something
no part
like
of it
The Strangers, oh my God. I have friends who say The Strangers doesn't scare them because they feel like it could never happen in their life. But The Strangers is the movie with Liv Tyler where the three strangers come to the door and just fuck with them all night and kill them, like, in the middle of nowhere. That shit could happen.
Two of my male cousins are, like, big spook movie guys, like, thrillers, like, I feel like probably a little bit of horror, like, are here for it. And they were both like, it's the fucking, when it came out, they were like, this is the fucking scariest movie I've ever seen.
I was mad that I saw it. Like,
were you?
Just pissed that I saw it. I was also upset.
I'll be honest, that one didn't end up stressing me out that much. I think only
because... But that's
because,
what I'm afraid of.
Well, I think it didn't stress me out only because everybody had been like, this is the fucking scariest movie ever. So I went into it with, like, very large preconceived notions and
I
then was
saw
like,
it,
oh, I'm okay.
Yeah, I saw it, like, at the theater late night because another movie was sold out.
It, like, wasn't even...
So it was, like, not... I didn't know
what
was happening.
That's fucked up. Whew. It's an intense one. So, I don't know. Interesting to me that, like, we can enjoy the rush of fear and then feel satisfied and then reassured by our safety. But then the flip side, that if the, like, our emotional brain is too terrified or your cognitive brain is, like, helpless and just, like, this doesn't even make sense, you're going to be, like, bored or, like, just feel suppressed and, like, it's not fun.
Yeah. Well, the stimulus threshold is interesting. And I do have a brief thing to add. To that point is, and this is something that I used to read about a little bit as I was kind of just, like, discovering myself and, but, you know, you figure yourself out as a young adult anyway.
You do.
Something that they talk about in, like, the Enneagram a little bit, which we have not talked about, but that doesn't matter for this point. They talk about phobic versus counterphobic reactions to anxiety. And so, like, you could talk about...
And they're kind of binarily, like, classifying people. Either you're, like, one of these or one of the others in this personality test.
You're more one than the other in certain personality types, but it can also be a fluctuating thing. Like, you could have either response. But some people who are, like, daredevils or, like, thrill-seeker personalities... like the Enneagram describes them as what's called counterphobic. And that essentially means that, like, that individual probably has a high amount of anxiety naturally, but you can deal with it as, like, phobic. And that is, like, withdrawing to protect yourself and being, like, highly fearful of experiences. Or you can be counterphobic. And that means that you move toward the fear. And so, like, people who have a lot of anxiety but maybe have counterphobic tendencies might, like, go skydiving or, like, do a lot of risky things because it makes them feel like they're in control of the fear, like they're grabbing it instead of running away from it.
Which one do you think you are?
It depends on the situation, honestly. I feel like if it comes down to, like, interpersonal or, like, emotional fear, like, I'm, like, more phobic and avoidant. But if it comes to, like, what we're talking about, like, real tactile, like, in front of you threats, I feel like I, like, move toward whatever the threat is to try to, like put myself above it, if you will. Like I don't want to feel like something that I'm afraid of has power over me. So sometimes my reaction is to, like, chase the man who's lurking outside my apartment, or if I'm having a lot of anxiety, like, to make a series of reckless decisions because it feels better. Yeah.
I feel like I honestly would say I'm, like, the flip of you. Like, when it's something emotional or interpersonal, I'm like, let's fucking talk about it. Like, let's go. Like, I'm, like, in.
And I wish I was like that, and I'm trying to work on it, but it's hard.
We're all evolving.
We're all evolving.
I don't know that one's necessarily better than the other.
Just different. Yeah.
No, and it's a balance. But I think, like, on the, like, physical threat kind of situation, I'm more avoidant. If it's something that I'm like, oh, that's scary, I'm like, well, then I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. And I tried to think about times that, like, I maybe felt like... my physical space was, like, invaded by another person. And I've had those situations. And, like, I'm somebody who, like, tries to diffuse that, like, really quickly and, like, goes for it. But I think that's truly just, like, more interpersonal again. So
yeah. Well, and I would say that I go for it, but in, like, a different way than you in that. And go with me for a second. But I almost feel like...
Yeah.
Experiences that maybe I'm afraid of, I feel like in my brain, I almost think about them like dark parts of, like, the map of my life, like things that maybe I'm afraid of because I don't understand. And if we want to harken back to my saw comment, I will say that, like, and maybe this is too, you know what, it's not too much for this podcast because a lot of other people are going to feel this way too. But,
and,
like,
this is not suitable for work. You already figured that out.
It's not suitable for work. I've had to tell my coworkers that multiple times. They're like, can we put it on in the kitchen? Like, absolutely not. God, do not listen to this at my workplace. Anyway.
Jesus Lord.
As far as, like, moving toward a fear, I feel like I was, and this is partially because I'm homosexual, but... when I was a younger person, I was, like, really afraid to have sex with a man because I was, like, in the closet and, like, didn't want to, but felt like it was something I needed to just, like, get over. And so, like, I was very afraid of it, but also it almost felt like a dark part of the map, like a piece of my life or experience that I hadn't explored yet that was scary because I didn't understand it. And so, like, I... move toward that fear and, like, just tried to fuck somebody so I could, like, get past it, almost to just feel like I could, like, shed light on that part of the map, if that makes sense.
Wow. No, I mean, it doesn't not.
Yeah. 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 And female sexuality aside, I'm simply talking about experience, but Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sometimes we do, like...
It makes me feel less afraid if I understand things. So sometimes, like, moving towards something feels like the most effective way to deal with my fear.
Well, and I think, like, in situations that maybe we've all just had, like, a... I don't know, maybe we had, like, some kind of social anxiety about, like, a place or a thing to do. It always, like, it does feel like it gets easier once you...
Yeah, a new job. After the first week, once you know the routine of, like, where you park, who's there when you walk in, like, where you put your shit down, like, it... Yeah.
Yeah, there is something to be said, like, shining light on things that feel scary.
Yeah, well, and that's not to keep hearkening back to my grandparents on their cruise, but, like, if they would a couple of times explore safely the ports that they dock in, I think that they would be less afraid when they go to port because they would understand a little bit about, like, what it's like and the culture and, like, that not everything is terrifying.
Hmm. And I mean, I think that brings us kind of full circle back to, like, fear and the darkness.
Yeah, it is all just about the unknown. Or not at all exclusively, because sometimes it's known fear, you know?
Yeah.
Learned and taught.
There's such learned and taught, you know what I'm saying? But, no, I mean, it's real. I think there's a lot to be said of... I think a lot of people are just afraid of... There's a reason we talk about, like, fear of new things or fear of change or things we've never done before. Because mm-hmm. you, like, don't know how it's going to go. And
orientations are scary. College, high school, work, whatever.
Yeah. It is, you know, that metaphorical, like, kind of like jumping off a cliff. It's like, okay, yeah. I have no idea how this goes, but, like, here we go.
Right. Aww.
It's scary.
It is scary.
Sometimes we're scared.
And good job, everyone. Whatever
good
scary
job, everybody,
thing you're doing.
Good job, everybody, because, like, fucking every day you get out of bed, you're like...
No, fucking. Actually, pause. The thing that you're anxious about today, congratulations for dealing with it.
Yeah, you made it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's real.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or you will, and it'll be over later tonight.
Yeah.
And you can have a hot shower and go to bed, and it's over. So to wrap us up, especially since we've been talking a lot about fear of the dark as kind of like an all-encompassing or kind of like a canvas for other fears, I was thinking about, like, how could I not be afraid of the dark? And I just wondered, like, so if you could trade 50% of your daytime vision and you cannot wear contacts to make up for this, so, like, you have, like, poor sight during the day.
Okay.
For... full, like, nocturnal animal vision at night, would you do it?
No.
I would strongly consider.
I almost think it would spook me more.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you would see, like, animals and things moving way more than you would, but, like, it would almost feel like daytime to you. So I feel like I would be able to register, like, oh, that's a deer, like, really
fast.
Yeah,
I guess it also has me thinking, though, like, if I'm walking down the street at night, like, if I'm walking down the street during the day, I can see, like, people blocks around me. But
yeah.
At night, I'm, like, kind of more in my, like, own zone. Like, I'm very aware of what's around me, but I'm not aware of what's, like, three blocks behind and ahead of. And, like,
sure,
I actually think that would freak
see.
Me out.
Hmm.
I don't know. Like, I think that would kind of freak me out. I also, like, was thinking about I'd have a hard time sleeping. I'd just see my cat running around in the night, like,
I actually,
the apartment.
Yeah. After I said that, I was like, would it be really hard to sleep, though? So maybe.
I feel like it might be hard to sleep.
It might
I don't
be
know.
Hard to sleep. And it'd be impossible
also, like,
to
I
drive
imagine, like,
during the day.
Also, like, one of the joys of, like, you know, when you're, like, in bed with Bay. Like, I don't know that I, like, want to, like, see every full detail of your sleeping face or you see it of mine.
I
don't know. You would. Okay.
I do. I want to see everything.
I know that
I'm, like,
about
full
you.
Lights. And that doesn't always go over that well.
Nope.
I'm
sure
like,
doesn't.
Fine. Turn it off.
I didn't mean just when you were, like, you know.
Oh,
in it.
I'm sorry. But
I wasn't
I also
talking sexy time. I was talking about, like, I don't want to watch your face while you snore.
Oh, I like it. It's okay.
I don't know. It depends. Some people are not cute snorers.
Not everybody's a cute snorer, but hopefully, if you have nighttime vision, you have a cute snorer next to you.
Hopefully. You'd have to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think I'd want it.
Yeah, I would strongly consider. That's what I'm going to say.
In a pivot still in the lens of darkness, here's one for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Your apartment. And just your apartment, the rest of the world, like, everything's going to stay the same. Uh-huh. But in your apartment, all lights on all the time.
Oh.
No lights on ever.
I'm going to honestly really
You
fast...
have electricity. Like, you can use other things. I want to preface that.
Sure. I'm going to go ahead and say lights on all the time because often I fall asleep with all the lights on in my clothes and don't wake up until the morning. So that doesn't feel like that much of a stretch. Like,
okay.
It's harder to sleep and I don't sleep as well when I do that. But I've definitely, like, as an adult, by accident or because of fear or whatever, I've, like, slept with the lights on.
I've definitely slept with the lights on as an adult out of, like, a time that I, like, felt uneasy. I've definitely done that.
Yeah. After my intruder, I slept the lights on for a while.
The first time I watched Psycho, I was probably, like, middle school. I, like, took a bath for, like, 2 weeks instead of a shower because I was like, no way I'm fucking closing this curtain.
Exactly. Aww. But because it's not that hard for me to sleep with the lights on and not having lights either, like, on gloomy days or, like, in the early evening when it starts to get dark, if I'm not able to turn all the lights on in my apartment, it makes me, like, feel weird and depressed and anxious. So, like, I would trade some sleep quality for being able to have, like, the warm electric glow in the evening.
That's fair.
It would comfort me more.
Yeah, when it's too dark in my apartment, it does make me feel a little depressed sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to own that with you and ride with the lights only, and I guess I'm just going to... The only thing I worry about that logistically is with, like, house guests and whatnot, but, like, I'll provide, like, very chic sleeping masks for anyone who enters.
The chicest sleeping masks.
Listen, you know I don't do anything half-assed.
No.
They would be dope.
No. Oh,
they'd
I
be,
look
like,
forward
personalized.
To your sleep masks.
Like, if anything, you want me to become this person because you'd like the sleep mask I would provide.
I do. I would benefit. They would be, like, silk and vitamin E infused. It'd be great.
Yeah, dude. I don't do anything half-assed.
All right. So in the vein of fear, I had one more question for you.
Okay.
This is a would you rather that is, like, about fear that's going to just, like, I don't know. It will, how you answer would, like, dictate just, like, how difficult your life is in a couple different ways.
Okay.
So, would you rather have an intense fear of, like, all vehicles? So, like, your car, anyone else's car, a bus, a Lyft, a taxi, anything like
that. Am I cool with,
train?
Like, trains?
No.
No. Oh, damn. Okay.
No. Like, no, like, vehicles with wheels.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah. You're maybe okay with flying, but, like, around town, like, you're walking or riding a bike.
Okay.
Or would you rather have an intense fear where, like, similarly, you, like, couldn't interact with it, of everyone over the age of 60?
Oh.
I think about, like, work-life situation. You know what I mean? Like, how do you, like, go to work and go to the grocery store and, like, rent an apartment?
Both of these are, like, how do you live? I have one follow-up question for the first fear. Am I afraid of being in the transportation, or am I, like, also afraid of, like, walking past cars?
No. You're only afraid of, like, surrendering to the transportation, and you also are not cool with driving yourself.
Okay, cool. Then I'm going to take that one. I'm a walker by nature anyway.
And you live in a city that's pretty walkable.
Yeah, generally pretty walkable.
It'd be harder for you to get further out, but yeah.
And I am the homie who, like, opts out of public transit to walk, like, 40 minutes sometimes. So I'm like, yeah, it would be inconvenient. I'd have to definitely learn how to manage my time in a way that would facilitate this. But I would definitely rather have that as a fear than anyone over 60. Because, like, just as a jumping off point, my parents are over 60. So, like...
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. I can't fuck with that. But I think I'd take the interpersonal, like, fineness there for people thinking I was, like, weirdly afraid of transit.
Yeah. Yeah. What I would choose the same thing. So just for the sake of exploring it, what would it look like to have to avoid people over 60?
Dude,
I guess you, honestly, you, like, work in a college town. And I hope that there's no tenured faculty coming into your bar.
I was going to say, you're still going to have the fucking professors, but I think it would be like a college town pivot, honestly.
Yeah. Or you become a high school teacher.
That'd be your best bet.
And there's
Or you're a preschool teacher and like hope that you... And you never host to bring your grandparent to a school day. Like, you're just like, fuck that.
You plan to take off and you get a sub in on Grandparents' Day.
Something.
I loved Grandparents' Day.
Grandparents' Day is a pretty cute tradition.
Yeah. And sometimes my grandparents came to school on Parents' Day when my parents had to work.
Also cute.
Also cute. Any other thoughts or feelings about fears?
Not tonight, although I don't know. I'm going to be checking under my bed maybe after all this is over.
All of it. Hey, I carry a flashlight that also is like half a crowbar in my car.
So listen, if you want some Armageddon intruder protection, email us and you can get at us on the internet as always.
Yeah.
Because Jamie will send you her tips. I'm throwing it out now.
I will. They're lightweight. They're easy. They don't fuck up your life. I'm not weird, guys, but I stay safe.
And listen, if you want someone else to just like pretend none of it's happening with, call me.
yeah.
Truthfully, as always, you can get at us on the internet, on Instagram at whyareyoulikethispod, or via email at whyareyoulikethispod@gmail.com. You can find us on the Twitter and rate and review and all the nice things, and we appreciate it.
We love it. We love it. And suggest episodes. People have done that, and we've done the episodes. Guys, we love it. Tell us what you want to hear.
Get back.
We'll fucking do it. Yeah.
We will fucking do it.
Well, good night. Have fun finishing your dog walk, picking up the shit, whatever you're doing. Goodbye.
And look under your bed, maybe.
And behind you. Carry your keys between your fingers, okay, ladies?
Okay. All right. Too much. Bye.